Grace to you and peace from the great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. It sure is good to be back here, and it's good to be back here feeling better, I tell you that. So it is great. Yeah, so I can sing now. And that is a blessing. You know, I take it for granted, but when you can't, it doesn't come out. No fun. Well, we're continuing Genesis, and this is what a book. There is so much in this powerful book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, right? Just a lot of stuff here. And here we go. We just can continue our journey. Last week I talked about Abraham being called by God and the promises of God and the doubts and everything else, and how Abraham had to hang on to faith, and it was faith that counted to him as righteousness, not as good deeds. It was faith all through and through. And today we continue the story with Genesis 16, and also a little bit of Genesis 21. Because today it's about Hagar and Ishmael, and as well as Abraham and Sarai. And let's pray. Lord, open this word. Open this message, Lord, because it's just like today's world. We want so much to follow you. We want so much to live full of faith and full of love and on fire for you. But Lord, we got clay feet. And sometimes we melt. And sometimes we don't have that faith, and we get impatient with you, and we doubt you, and we think that we have to take things in our own hands, just like back here in Genesis. So Lord, fortify us and nourish us with the soul food right now to build up our faith, not just while we're here, but when we go out there with just increase our faith, Lord. We need more faith. Please, Lord, give us more faith. Download through your Spirit, through your Word, through prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The theme is the God who sees, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But Genesis 16, well, the promise was given by God. Remember, he said, Abraham, look at all the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore and the beach. That's how many descendants you'll have. And then nothing's happening. Okay. God promised it this great object lesson, but well, silence from the heavens. Nothing's going on. I hate waiting. I really hate waiting. And they did too, obviously. Because once again, people think they have to take things in their own hands. And things have not changed much, have they? So in Genesis 16, verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But, here's man's, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So, she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me, boy, from having children. Blame God again, right? Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Now remember, who's saying this? Whose idea is this?
Sarah.
Okay, well just remember that. It's her idea, right? I always love that people tell you something, then you do it, and they go, well, why did you do that? This is what's going to happen here, because it's man's ideas shifting like the sand, and the only foundation is what? The Word of God. God's Word, right? Okay, here we go. All right, Abram says, okay, Sarai. Abram agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. Here. Here, Abraham. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, this is Sarai, she began to despise her mistress. It's her idea. Now she's despising the mistress, right? Hagar. Then Sarai said to Abraham, oh, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. Well, boo-hoo. Whose idea was this? I wonder if Abraham said that to her. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Whoa, now that's not a good thing to say in a marriage. May the Lord judge between you and me. We're supposed to two become one, right? This is not good. It's like a soap opera. Your servant is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. Oh, boy. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar. Abraham, come on! But this is human nature, right? This is real stuff. The Bible does not portray the saints as perfect. Another authentic test that it's with God's Word. The writers don't portray themselves in good light, do they? It's only God who's the perfect one. Well, you see how this goes. So Sarai says, oh good, now I have even more reason to mistreat her. So she is mistreated. Hagar is, and so Hagar says, I'm out of here. This is ridiculous. People are sick. They want me to have the child, and then look what happens to me. They blame me. I'm out of here. I can't take it anymore. And we, like Hagar, want to run away. Right? We want to run away. And sometimes we do run away from the situation, from God. But look what happens. The angel of the Lord, which we think is Jesus before he was born in Bethlehem, because this person says things that no angel can. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert, near a well. Interesting. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? Now, Jesus knew very well, but wanted her to think about it. And sometimes as parents or as teachers, it's good to ask questions to help people think about it. It's called the Socratic way of teaching. The catechism is built on that. Question and answer, question and answer. So the Lord is asking Hagar, where have you come from and where are you going? Which is a good question for us to ask ourselves. Where have I come from? Where am I going? Do I have a purpose? Do I have a goal? Do I have a vision in my life? Or am I just kind of going from one day to the next? Well, she says, I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai. She answered, I'm running away. We got a lot of runaways, the fugitive, on the run, right? Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. What? The word of the Lord is, that's something she wants to hear, right? And sometimes we don't like hearing what Pastor Rick says or what I say because it's God's word, but we have to say it, right? Because it's for our good. At the moment, it doesn't feel like it. So the Lord says, go back and submit to her. Oh, that woman, I got to submit to that woman. But if God has a purpose, like we said yesterday at Bubba Breakfast, God has a longer range purpose than my happiness right here and now. He knows what he's doing. He says, I want you to go back and submit. Believe me, there's a big plan. You wouldn't believe how big this plan is. Everything in the Middle East started from what happens right here in this text. And then the angel said to her, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. So now she gets the same promise in a similar way as Abraham, right? She's going to have descendants. The angel of the Lord also said to her, here's a really neat blessing. You are now with child, and you will have a son. This sounds like with Jesus, where you'll be with child and have a son called his name Emmanuel. Well, here, you are now with child, and you'll have a son. You shall name him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. And that's still going on today in the Middle East. It starts right here. All the garbage going on there starts right here. She gave this name to the Lord God who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Notice that she gives God a name. I never thought of that. A personalized name to God because he was so personal to her. The God who sees me. Not just sees everybody else. You are the God who sees me. And this happened at a well. And Seal picked a song for our sober recovery. It's become our theme song, The Well. We've sung it here a couple times. And it says over and over, leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind. You know, we had to leave everything behind and come to the well. We sing about that over every Tuesday night, right? Come to the well, that refreshing water at this oasis here, Amazing Grace. Because God sees and He hears and He refreshes us. So, a little bit later, and Pastor Rick will be talking about this down the road, Abraham finally has the promised son through Sarai named Isaac, right? And all kinds of stuff happens there in chapter 21. And so, Hagar goes back to Abraham and Sarai, okay? And then Ishmael is born, right? And then Isaac is born. Well, here we go. Here's turmoil again. The soap opera continues. The saga continues because in chapter 21, it says, the child grew and was weaned. And on the day that Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had born, that is Ishmael, to Abraham, was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son. Here we go again. Sarah says, get rid of her. Hagar's going, what? Okay, here I go again. Hagar was commanded to go back. Excuse me, she did. Now that Isaac was born, Ishmael starts mocking Isaac. Okay, Ishmael, the son born naturally persecutes the son born supernaturally, Isaac. Sarah gets ticked off, tells Abraham about it, says, get rid of her. Verse 11, now just imagine you're Abraham. You've got to tell Hagar and Ishmael, your son, to leave. Goodbye. How do you think he felt? Well, the matter distressed Abraham, verse 11 of chapter 21, greatly because it concerned his son. Well, yeah. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will reckon, namely Jesus, right? I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he's your offspring. In other words, I'll take care of him. Don't you worry about it. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He sent them on her shoulders and then sent her off with a boy. So she went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. Excuse me. When the water and the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. You talk about drama here. Now we got Hagar thinking her son is going to die. Even though God promised a whole bunch of descendants through him, it looks bad. The circumstances look awful, right? But this is the God who sees still. But she forgets this. Don't we forget God's promises, right? She says, I can't stand to watch him die. Well, he's not going to die. But it sure looks like it, right? And so she sat down there nearby and began to sob. She's crying. She's given up. She's ready to watch her son die. Verse 17 of chapter 21. God heard the boy cry. So God not only sees, he hears what's going on when we're in trouble, right? He sees everything. He hears everything. He feels everything. He cares about us. So the Lord hears the boy crying, and again, the angel of the Lord, the Messiah, Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, comes down to the rescue, calls again to Hagar from heaven, and says to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. As he lies there. It's not later on that God hears. He hears it immediately while everything's going on. God's in the middle of it. Emmanuel, God with us. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him to a great nation. God sees things differently. God says, what's the matter? Why are you so afraid? Oh, nothing. My son's just about ready to die. Is what our response is. We think, why do you think I'm upset, God? I have every right to be. And God is so cool about things, right? He's like, why are you so afraid? I promised you. What's the deal? And he has this promise again. And then God opened her eyes, and now the God who sees helps her to see, and she sees a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. And when he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. And this is the word of the Lord. It is. Thanks be to God, because things don't change. In Galatians 4:29, it says, it has a word picture of Ishmael and Isaac, the child of the flesh, the child of the spirit, the law of all the demands and religiosity, and the gospel, which has power and life and sets people free, correspond to Isaac, who was almost sacrificed, a type of Jesus. All kinds of stuff that Pastor Rick will talk about. Somebody will later. Anyway, the point is this. It says in Galatians 4:29 that the child born of the flesh persecuted the child born of the spirit. That's when Ishmael started mouthing off and mocking, okay? And it still happens today. People who believe in dreams and visions and miracles and who actually believe people can have things happen like Bruce happened to him and don't go, oh, come on. They get persecuted. A vision of Jesus, huh? Oh, he came to your hospital room, huh? Okay. Oh, you hear God. You saw an angel behind Pastor Rick, huh? Mm-hmm. They get persecuted for that kind of faith, that passion, that belief. Because many of us are so analytical, we think that can't possibly happen today or then. And we have a skeptical mind that refuses to believe anything because of people making up stuff or outlandish claims or just our stubborn unbelief that refuses to believe. Now, having said all that, this is the God who sees, right? We talk about God's omniscience, a big word. Omni means all. The word science means knowledge. God is all-knowing. Because he sees everything, he knows everything. And there are some real benefits to God's omniscience. And that's what I want to talk about here. This is the real meat of the outline. All that was just setting this up. So we have the certainty of the God who sees, which is the name, remember, Hagar gave to God. It still blows my mind. Never thought of that before. Hagar gives God a name. If we were going to give God a name, I mean, the world would say, they use him as a curse word, but what name would you give God in your personal walk that would describe God in your walk with Him? For me, it might be, He gives me light and passion and joy. The God who gives passion, light, and joy. I don't know. Think about that. What name would you give God? Because I hope you have a personal walk with God that's personal, not just some religious thing where the catechism says, oh, that's fine, I'm good. What do you say? What does your heart say? What name would you give God? That's your homework assignment, okay? But the certainty of His omniscience is that God sees us. And the omniscience is that in His person, God is the one who sees. The word theos is the Greek word for God. And in that word, it means the one who sees. Theos. It's connected with that word. This very person is connected with His omniscience. That's who God is. He is all-knowing and He sees everything. In His person and in His presence. God knows everything not only because of who He is, but also because of where He is in His person. Where is God? He's not only omniscient, He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's here, He's there, He's with Pastor Daniel Banja in Uganda. He's with all, everybody, at the same time. He can be in communion at the same time. Different churches all over the world. How can that be? I don't know. But that's who He is. He is the God who's everywhere. From afar He sees. And in His power. So in His person, who He is, in His presence, and in His power, God knows everything. Nothing is too difficult for Him. He sees it all. And one theologian said that it's like God sees from... He's so high up that He can see the whole universe in one little glance and yet see everybody expanded to every single person in the universe or in the world, right? That's amazing. So God's omniscience is in His person, it's in His presence, it's in His power, and it's in His purpose. God's purpose is, lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's connected to, go and make disciples. Go everywhere. So in our Great Commission call, right, here's the point. In our calling, we have the promise that the purpose of God is that He'll be with us always, even to the end of the age. No matter what things look like, in our country, in our government, whatever's going on, He says, I'll be with you, and I see you, and I hear you. So there's some really neat aspects of the certainty of His omniscience. That He knows everything. And the consequences are that He sees me. It's very personal. He sees me. Not just all of you, but He sees me. What I'm going through matters to God. His knowledge is perfect. He sees me as I am, which can be scary. Because we all can, we have little blinders. Parts of us that we don't see, but others see. Right? God sees the whole picture of all of us. Sees like x-ray vision, which is what's scary about people when they see God, because God sees right through them. And Isaiah says, woe is me! I'm undone. He thought he's going to come apart because the holiness of God penetrated through his sinful heart, right through him. And it was like this x-ray, supernatural radiation going through him, and he was blown away. But God is so loving, and he stoops down, Jesus stoops down to us, and he doesn't let his holiness and glory overwhelm us. But rather, in His humanity, comes down and stoops down to every one of us, right? And to those who come through these doors, and we've had some amazing stories, people broken. We sing about broken hearts. We have broken people, and Jesus wants us to come down to them and help them and stoop down to them like Jesus did to us, right? Wow. So that is the purpose and a consequence of God's omniscience as it's personal, it's perfect, it's persistence. He keeps seeing us. He won't stop looking at us. When kids are going to college, and somehow I was on the plane, and this one kid was scared to death flying from a little town in Missouri to a big town out west. It would be a long way from her mama. And she was with her mom on the plane, and she's already getting really nervous and hyper about that was next to the other side of the guy who was coughing and sneezing on me. But anyway, she was talking about how scared she was about school, you know, and this new venture. But God is with her. And God is with us wherever we go, and He keeps seeing us. He doesn't stop seeing. It's like, oh, oops, sorry, I didn't notice you there. I didn't see that you fell away or you had that accident or injury. And God's knowledge for us is also phenomenal. That He sees me. He knows my name. He hears me and sees me. And He's right there with me, even when it doesn't feel like it. Which is pretty neat, right? Sometimes we feel His presence. Other times we don't. And we need to be reminded that God sees. And He never stops seeing. It just continues on and on, which is pretty cool. Now, here's the comfort, the fact that He knows everything. The comfort is, He sees the one praying. Okay, so we're praying on Monday nights, and maybe you're the only one here, Pastor Rick. Well, you've got God with you. Or maybe sometimes we're by ourselves. God is in that prayer room with you. Where two or three are gathered, there am I, even one person, because God's inside us. But there's a special promise where just two or three are there. God doesn't say, well, I'm a church growth man, so you've got to have 500 people before I'm impressed, before I show up. And you've got to have perfect music, perfect sermon, and then maybe I might put my toe in your building a little bit. God doesn't care. Two or three broken people, poor people, downtrodden, messed up people. God runs to the people who know they need help. The people who think, oh, I'm religious, I don't need God. God says, well, I guess you don't need me, so I'll wait till you get broken enough, then I'll come running to you like I run to everybody else. But that's the comfort. God sees the prayer. He sees the sufferer. He sees it. God sees what baby Jesus is going through. And He sees and He feels and He hears the cries and the pain of those parents. He does. He really cares. And we don't know why sometimes God heals miraculously and supernaturally sometimes and other times. I don't know. Maybe Pastor Rick does. No, we don't. We don't. But we have to trust God, right? We have to put baby Jesus and everybody else that we're concerned about in His hands. Because He is the God who sees. He's the God who hears. He's the God who cares. So He sees the one who's praying. He sees the sufferer. And He sees the one who's being slandered. Here, Hagar is being slandered. She's trying to do the right thing, poor lady. And she's getting slandered. And God sees that. He's got a plan. He says, I know, Hagar. I'm with you. It's going to be okay. First He says, go back, submit. She submits, and then she has to leave. And the rest is literally history of what happened in the Middle East. And God knows when you're slandered. Sometimes the church doesn't know the whole story. That Pastor Rick and I know things are going on, but we can't say it. And people make judgments on decisions we make. They don't know the whole story. You're hearing gossip from somebody who's upset, and we can't defend ourselves, but we're not called to defend ourselves. And then the same with you. There are things that happen to you that are misunderstood, and people go, well, why do they do that? We are called not to judge because we don't know the whole story. Only God sees the whole picture, and He calls us to make the best decision and with wisdom and discernment in the situation. But God is the only one that sees the whole situation, the whole picture. And sometimes we are misunderstood. There's a story of this businessman in downtown New York that won a free turkey. And he was all excited. And his coworkers decided to play a trick on him because he was a single guy. And they said, well, he doesn't need a turkey. So they made a fake turkey, paper mache and everything else. And they gave it to him for Thanksgiving. They says, well, this will be fun. Wait till we hear when he opens up that turkey and his fake turkey. Well, the single man, because he was single, says, you know what? I want to give this turkey away to a needy family. He doesn't know it's a fake turkey. So he goes to this family and he gives them this fake turkey. He says, I just care about you so much. I want you to enjoy this turkey for Thanksgiving. He goes to work after Thanksgiving holiday and he tells the guys, you know what? I gave this. How's the turkey? He says, well, I gave it away. And they go, what? I go, yeah, this needy family really needed it. And they go, oh no. Oh no. And they told the guy and he goes, oh great. So there's this family, poor needy, is judging this businessman dressed in a suit. Like he's a mean-hearted, you know what, kind of a guy. And he meant well. He was trying to help this family. But it looks like, what a cruel trick. So God sees when we are misunderstood. God sees when we're suffering. God sees when we're praying. God sees when we're trying to be faithful in our lives and there's not a lot of fruit. And there's not a lot of fruit in that hot 120-degree weather. We're going, God, how about some fruit? And God says, just wait. The season is coming. And I believe the season is coming. We'll have more fruit and more harvest. Harvest time is coming. And I believe God's calling us to believe that despite what we see and feel. And just in closing, Bubba Breakfast yesterday, and I know we're talking about this later on, but the whole story of Joseph, when he was mistreated, right, by his brothers, God had a huge picture where Joseph ended up. Number two in Egypt. But Egypt at that time was a lot bigger. It was like the United States today. It wasn't this little country that it is now. God had a picture, despite the suffering and persecution that Joseph went through, and sometimes he deserved it, but God had a bigger picture when it didn't feel like it or look like it at the time. Believe in the God who sees. Believe in the God who hears. Believe in the God who cares through Jesus Christ. Believe in the God who has the big picture for you and for us and for this world. Believe in the God who sent His Son, Emmanuel, God with us, who takes away our sins, who brings us His holiness and His righteousness by His blood, and brings us into the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit to experience and feel His presence of the One who sees and the One who cares and the One who hears and the One who loves forever. In Jesus' name, amen.